The importance of Bletchley Park's role in the preparations for D-Day should never be underestimated and perhaps can't be overstated. Peter, let's be basic about this. What was Bletchley Park's role in the run-up to D-Day?
It was a link between what the Germans in Madrid were sending to the Germans in Berlin, the Abwehr, about the false information we were giving them through our agents. And we were intercepting that, the link from Madrid to Berlin, intercepting the message sent by Morse. They were coming into Bletchley Park where they were being decrypted, then sent back to London to MI6 and to the Double Cross, where they could assess how effective this false information had been and what else they could do to either add to it or supplement it to make sure, in fact, they continued to make the Germans think the way we wanted them to think.
The acid test of the effectiveness of the false intelligence. Yeah. Richard, can you tell us a bit about what we've got on show now in Secrets Revealed, Introducing Bletchley Park, that tells the D-Day story?
Expanding on what Peter's just said, one of the most important things we've got in there is one of the volumes that contains intercepted Abwehr messages. That shows the information that Madrid was sending to Berlin, and in turn Berlin was sending to Madrid. And this allowed Bletchley Park to feed the information onto MI6, who, as Peter said, could inform their decisions about how effective the false information they were sending to the Germans was.
A good way of humanising this, a good example, is the double agent, Garbo. Now, he wouldn't have even known that Bletchley Park existed, would he?
No double agents knew of Bletchley Park. It was kept completely out of the loop. It had to be. Because otherwise, if one of them, in fact, become a triple agent, sent the information back to Germany, this place would have been blown.
If they'd have known they were being watched, they'd have sent messages accordingly.
No, not necessarily. Though the point was across it, if, in fact, Bletchley Park was known to be in the loop, they knew, therefore, their message were being intercepted. Therefore, they knew that their Enigma machine must have been intercepted. Therefore, not only that Enigma machine, but all the other Enigma machines for the Navy, Army, Air Force, and that. Also, the whole lot could have been changed, and we'd have to start all over again.
It must have been the great fear, mustn't it?
It was the great fear all the time. That was the one worry in Bletchley Park throughout the whole of the war.
And I wonder if D-Day felt like a culmination of all those years' work to those people, or if it was just one particular operation.
It was one particular operation, but it was the most important operation of the way the war was turning. This was the ultimate desire of the Allies to get back into Europe. There had been the big argument in 1943, should we go into Europe in 1943, or should we stay or go through Italy? We'd won the argument, we're going to invade Italy first. Now we're going to invade Europe. It had to succeed. And that's, in fact, why it was so important that Bletchley Park kept informing the necessary authorities how the Germans reacted. That's why the information we have here is so valuable. It's raw material. It's not stuff that's been paraphrased. It hasn't been translated. The stuff we have, as Richard said, in our hundreds of books here, is all raw material from the Germans showing exactly how they thought and how they acted.
And it's what they were saying to each other. It's verbatim. It's not translated or filtered through anyone who wanted people to know or not know any particular element.
No. It was verbatim coming in. And that raw material was being translated here and going down to MI6 and so forth. Bletchley Park was the link.
And Richard, the Garbo messages we have on show, they tell that story very nicely, don't they? Can you tell us a bit more about what's in those messages?
Yes, there's one particularly that we've got on display that makes reference to there still being troops in the southeast of England. These troops weren't actually there, it's a fictitious message. But what it does do is reinforce the false information that there will be an invasion of the Pas-de-Calais, which ties up German troops away from Normandy, increasing the chances of a success at D-Day.
And that message then, of course, the response to that, we were able to see that they swallowed it.
Absolutely, yeah. The messages we've got on display suggest, as does the success of D-Day, that they were ignorant to the fact it was false information and acted accordingly, which meant it was a huge success.
And tell me about how Garbo came out of this smelling of roses.
Well, in 1944, not long after D-Day, the Germans told Garbo that they had honoured him by presenting him with the Iron Cross Second Class for his sterling work in informing them exactly what we were up to. And the other part about it is, of course, in December 1944, His Majesty King George VI awards him an MBE. So he's got medals flying in all directions, but the point is you can see how excellent the Double Cross system was. That he gets an award for doing a job, in fact, which was deceived the enemy, and they were so delighted with what he gave them. He gave them an award. You can't get better than that.